Hello and welcome to Geek Speak, where support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, network support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. Info at 948-7992. And by Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installations, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and also at 704-9130. My name is Marty Reinerson, joined by Louis the Computer Guy.
How you doing, Marty?
Doing great.
Have you turned your Bluetooth off yet?
I have turned my Bluetooth off. We have a lot of really geeky stuff to talk about today, but that's why we call it Geek Speak.
It is a really unsafe world out there.
Yes, very much so.
I don't usually get scared. And I'm still not scared. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the Bluetooth thing is really kind of scary because it's like doesn't use the normal attack methods.
Uh-huh.
It goes on your anything that has a Bluetooth on. It could be a smartwatch. It could be a phone. It could be a, who knows? It could be a microwave maybe. It infects as you walk around. You're infected all these other Bluetooth devices. Mm-hmm. It's like a crazy bubonic plague type of virus.
Bubonic.
Yeah, bubonic. Yes.
That was good.
Yeah.
So did you ever back when the show Person of Interest was on TV? Did you ever watch that?
No.
So one of the essential premises of Person of Interest is, one of the central characters is an absolute computer genius, and he basically builds a computer system for the Department of Homeland Security. The idea being that it pretty much monitors everything that everybody does all the time, and then basically develops, what do they call it? Probability vectors.
Okay.
For particular individuals and it spits out these numbers that basically it's either going to be somebody that's going to get killed or that's going to kill somebody.
Right.
You know, and they don't know which one. So they're basically going out trying to stop this from happening. Well, one of the basic things, the technological things in that show, which was always pretty, to me, pretty fantastical, was they would go around and they had some sort of an app on their phone and they would bluejack your phone. And which basically meant once your phone got bluejacked by these guys, they could in perpetuity then, until they decided not to bluejack your phone anymore, listen to everything that happened on your phone. So gave them a real leg up as far as solving these crimes. Now this Bluetooth vulnerability that we're talking about, which we kind of like jumped right in the middle of it. Our poor listeners are probably going, wait, what's going on?
What's happening here?
To backtrack just a little bit, basically there is a flaw has been discovered in the Bluetooth technology, which pretty much makes any Bluetooth device vulnerable. And it seems to pretty much cover all the bases. I noticed, so they talk about it, could affect a Windows machine, a iOS device, which is an iPhone or an iPad. They talk about it being vulnerable on Linux, which basically covers the Mac operating system, right? Mm, is that kind of the gist that you got of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Android operating system.
And
so,
just to bring it down a little bit lower for the layman, Bluetooth is basically a local wireless network between devices.
Mm-hmm.
So they understand what Bluetooth is and something you can turn on and off on all your devices.
Yeah. Most people probably know about it from some of the most common implementations is pairing your phone with your car and using a little wireless, one of those little cyborg things that you put on your ear.
Or even headphones. Yeah. You can have Bluetooth headphones.
Bluetooth headphones.
Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah.
Printers, et cetera. They're very
popular. That's how I use one of those little Bluetooth speakers. And so basically the theoretical, you know, they haven't discovered that this has actually happened, but they're saying in theory, this vulnerability, and it doesn't, you know what a pain in the butt it is to sometimes when you go to try to pair your Bluetooth.
Oh, absolutely.
And it takes two or three tries.
Yeah.
Well, this vulnerability, you know, maybe they need to like roll this vulnerability into regular Bluetooth implementation because
so
it doesn't require any pairing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, it'll pair all by itself without any problems. And it'll then creates it's what they call a worm topology, right?
Right.
You know, so it's the the site that we watched a really compelling video, which was on Forbes.com. And basically, if you just Google critical Bluetooth flaw, plug that into a web browser, a Google search, and you will find probably a link to the same video. The vulnerability is called Blueborn.
Blueborn, yeah.
Yeah. So it's somebody's going to have to get busy and fix that one. Because so, a lot of people use it. They say over 5 billion devices are at risk of being hacked.
So today, what are some actions our users can take?
You know, the most immediate one is to turn off their Bluetooth.
Right.
And so... You know, which my immediate thought was, well, I don't use Bluetooth on my computer. So I just went and just did that. No problem. I have two phones. I turned Bluetooth off on one of them and I went, oh, wait, the other one absolutely depends on being tethered to my car via Bluetooth.
Right.
So, and it's the problem is, I mean, what's the range on Bluetooth? You know,
I thought it was like off the top of my head,
200, 300.
Feet. Yeah. A couple hundred feet or something.
I guess we'll Google that.
Yeah.
But, anyway, technically, if somebody drove by you on the highway and had a infected device, it would be able to, you know, kind of connect to your approximately 100 meters.
100 meters,
So,
In a car.
Be able to connect to your device and infect you.
And wherever you are, in any restaurant, in any kind, especially in big cities, subways, airplanes.
What does a car do when it gets infected with malware?
Well, probably a problem if you have a self-driving car.
Okay. I could see that.
That could be a problem.
Yeah. Maybe it will like make you drive to bad restaurants or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
So is the, you know, because malware is all about monetizing the attack, so they could, you know, basically affect you and make you go places.
I don't know. Maybe they could potentially hijack the car. And by hijack, I mean, you know, do something where a car won't start and contact you and your car.
Oh, there you go. They could automotive ransomware.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is actually one of the scenarios, the ransomware scenario is one of the things they discuss in this in the video that Marty and I watched about this. So if there's anybody out that wants to call and talk about their Bluetooth, we're at 970-963-2976 or any other malfunction that you may be having with your, even a function that you're having with your device.
Anything geeky. We're here at Geek Speak. Two geeks.
We're here for you. So
waiting for your phone call.
Matt McBrayer's out on assignment today.
Yeah. And, hey, we got a phone call.
Yeah.
You're on the air with Geek Speak.
Hey guys, it's Donna. How are you?
We're good, Donna. How's your Bluetooth?
My Bluetooth. My Bluetooth, you know, I leave my Bluetooth on generally because I connect to my car phone all the time.
Yeah.
My car, Bluetooth. But on my computer and everything else, I turn it off.
Did you catch the first part of the segment?
I did.
We're talking about this critical Bluetooth flaw.
Blueborn.
Yes.
Be afraid.
Yes. But
Next thing you know, it'll be the Blueborn identity.
Ooh.
Well, at least don't you have to be like within 33 feet or whatever for it to be?
It's 100 meters.
Or 300.
Oh, is that what it is for Bluetooth?
Yeah. 328 feet.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, not to change the subject, but to
change
the subject.
Change the subject, please.
as exciting as Bluetooth is, I just installed the latest version of the iOS on my phone.
Me too.
And it's interesting because now when you go to, they changed the GUI, graphical user interface, and now, for example, it's kind of funny because when I go to my email, literally over 25% of the screen is taken up by the word inbox and the search field. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, the important parts is being able to see the emails. And I just thought it was funny how they take up so much space for that big word inbox. And, you know, have you noticed that?
Well, just a minute. I'm going to close the screen that I'm on here. Where is this big inbox?
If you open up your mailbox.
Oh, you're using the Apple Mail app? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
See, that's where you got me. I don't use that guy. I learned the hard way that I had tons of trouble with my Gmail account with the Apple Mail.
Oh, right.
And so I've been using the Gmail app ever since.
Oh, I use that. And, yes, I use that for my Gmail.
Yeah, I think it's so awesome. I don't like, have you used the Inbox app?
On Gmail?
Gmail hasn't, they have two different apps. One's the Gmail app, one's the Inbox. I don't like the Inbox app very well. It's, but anyway, sorry, I digress. But, yeah, so let's see. Let me open up the mail program and see. I kind of like the new control center. Have you checked that out at all?
No, I haven't.
It's it's more icon driven than that's what I'm showing. Oh, I'm showing Marty with the
it's
new
very
control.
Nice. It's very. If the listeners look at your radio real closely, you can see this lovely new GUI.
I'm holding it up to my microphone.
There you go. Very good.
So, yeah, it's got basically controls for, you know, it's actually, you can brighten and dim your screen. You can raise and lower volume right from it. You can actually turn on screen mirroring to any, you know.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Nearby,
oh, I see. So. Yeah, it is.
Is that via Bluetooth?
That's a good question.
Oh, there. I turned my Bluetooth. At least you can turn your Bluetooth on quickly. That way, using a control, you know, where you're talking about when you swipe from the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
If people don't know how to get to their control panel or whatever you call it.
Control center.
You
press the home button on your iPhone once, and then you swipe from the bottom up. It'll bring up a little screen. And I use it the most when I, like, for turning my flashlight on, you know.
I do. I use that as well as screen lock.
Yeah.
Rotate lock or whatever. Yeah.
I like the way that you can raise and lower the light level of the flashlight as well.
Yes.
Right from there. So that's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Other features that you've explored yet on there?
No, but I do want to say I just got back, you know, from traveling in Europe, and I was in Norway and Amsterdam, and it was really amazing to me, the Google Maps. I use Google Maps more than the Apple map, but like I would say, okay, I want to go from where my location to the Anne Frank House or museum, and it would tell me walk, you know, 100 meters this way, then hop on this tram, you know, the tram number 2, and then get off and go over to the metro, the subway, and get on subway number, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. 52, and then get off here and walk this way. I mean, it was, and then it had the times in there, and also it had for the subway and everything, and even the buses, it had the stops, like right on the Google Maps app, and what time they stop. It's just amazing. It was amazing.
It really
like
is.
I was so impressed that it could even have the stops on the subway and the times and everything, and it was really quite accurate.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was really like, now I feel like, man, I could travel anywhere and not get lost. What a difference from, you know.
Oh, I love Google Maps. If only we could get Google to turn off the map using Independence Pass over the winter. Because it's hard to get these, weather.
That's true.
Weather events into Google Maps. So people go the wrong way a lot.
Well, yeah. The other thing that, you know, I really like over there is the fact that they have so much public transportation. So, you know, you don't use public transportation very much probably in the U.S., but boy, when you go overseas, having that Google Maps show all the different public transportation options, you know, whether you want to walk or take a bus or take a car. And it even says, like, an Uber is so many minutes away if you want to take an Uber. It's amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that as long as you have a phone with Google Maps, man, you can get anywhere and over there.
Yep. You know, I don't know if I've ever told you about one of what I think is one of the coolest implementations of Google Maps is, have you ever used Flight Radar 24? Have you ever seen that app
I did.
Before?
Yeah. Yes, I just used it actually because, you know, what we were doing over there.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used the 3D view? Like if you go into Flight Radar 24, basically what it is it's a cross between Google Earth and the FAA, or real-time flight traffic database. Although everything's delayed by 20 minutes. I don't know if you knew that or not for security reasons. But you basically go in and, like, so if you see an airplane flying overhead, you basically go in and, like, zoom into your spot in the United States and you tap on an airplane that's up over you, and it tells you what kind of airplane it is, where it's coming from, where it's going to, how high it is, how fast it's traveling. And it also has a thing called 3D view, which allows you to, like, you go into 3D view and it shows you, if you were in that airplane, what you would be seeing. So, like, if you want to see what it's like to take off on an airplane from Hong Kong, you can basically navigate to Hong Kong, find the main airport, international airport,
sure,
tap on one of the planes and that's on the tarmac, and go into 3D view, and you can see exactly, well, supposedly, pretty much what the people on that plane are seeing out the window of the plane when they take off. So,
amazing.
Yeah, it's really, it is crazy stuff.
Yeah, we had our first, test flight with the aircraft that we just put high-speed internet on,
mm-hmm,
in Oslo, and we were tracking it using that Flight 24 app on our phones.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It was really, it's great. And
so without revealing any proprietary beta testing information, how did it go?
It went well. It was just flight test for the with the equipment, but we didn't have the system running yet. But our system will, mm-hmm, have 12 megabits per whatever second.
Mm-hmm.
12 megabits per second.
That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, every person on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
What's the standard
it?
Latency for your guys'?
I think it's like 0.6.
Really?
0.6 seconds or something.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It's like really... We were comparing it to another of our competitors, and their latency was almost twice ours for some reason.
Well, I was going to say, back when I was using HughesNet, I was on the average of getting about 2 seconds worth of latency.
Yeah, yep, yep.
You know, worse, you know.
Mm-hmm. We knew some of them were like 0.12, 0.11, mm-hmm, so 1.1.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to call in and say I'm back, so I'll be calling in as much as I can.
Awesome.
And okay. Make sure you say the phone number again.
Yeah, we will.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Donna. Take care.
Bye.
All right.
So you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. You can call us at 963-2976. 963-2976.
Our operators are standing by.
Yes, we're waiting for your call.
Yep. The lines are all lit up, but we're waiting for just the right call. You know, we're waiting for somebody to call with just the perfect subject.
Exactly.
To talk about.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So we have about 10 minutes left. We may not have time to completely discuss the subject, but maybe in a nutshell, you want to talk about the other big virus we're worried about, the WPA wireless.
Yes. We should talk about that. So an exploit or a vulnerability has been discovered using the in the WPA2 security stack, as they call it.
Right, which is how you connect to Wi-Fi. Almost everywhere.
In most places. I prefer to kind of be old school. I use like a really, really old, really insecure version of encryption at my house because, quite honestly, if anybody tries to steal my identity, I feel more sorry for them than I do for me. So
you're OG.
But anyway, the WPA2 security flaw, it has not been... I think that the correct term is it hasn't been observed in the wild at this point. But the video that Marty and I watched before the show was a little bit bone chilling.
Yeah, it's concerning, quite concerning.
You know, to just how easy if a hacker knows their way around a couple pieces of software, a couple hacker tools, how easy it is for them to basically join your WPA2 wireless network and in fairly short order start eavesdropping on your passwords and things like that. And so what was your main takeaway from watching that video?
Well, I'm always, when I have financial information, I always try to wire directly, mm-hmm, when possible. But certainly,
that would be one way to go about it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
You know, so if you're using any kind of wireless, but one of the articles I was reading was saying that if you had a VPN, a virtual private network, installed on your computer,
mm-hmm,
that might be a way to lessen that.
I think that absolutely would do it. I know that VPNs do have, there is some vulnerability, and we were going to talk a little bit about like one of my favorite free antiviruses comes from Avast, Avast.
Sure, I use that as well,
and they have a thing called Secure Line VPN, which is an option when you go to install a free version of Avast. You can basically leave the checkbox checked, and it will go ahead and put that on. And what that'll do is it'll pipe your, if you connect to the internet with your computer, then you launch SecureLine VPN, and it'll pipe all of your traffic encrypted out to one of Avast's SecureLine VPN servers, and then it dumps out onto the internet unsecure at some other location. But basically what you're doing is you're just getting it off-site, getting out of your house,
right,
secure without anybody eavesdropping on it. And I guess one of the one of my takeaways was that especially until they get this problem patched, as they say, people, especially if you are on a bank website or doing any kind of shopping or anything, I would compel our listeners to be especially attentive to the little padlock up in the address bar.
Right.
Because that is one of the few ways that you can tell if a site is not secure.
Yeah. So you see the lock suddenly become unlocked, then mm-hmm. something definitely is up.
Yeah.
Up.
On my computer, it doesn't do I use Google Chrome. It's more of like a little circle with the letter I in the center. In other words, there's some information here you might want.
Yeah.
And, it's really important, for people until they get this patched to keep an eye. The padlock doesn't disappear or become unlocked all by itself just because your wireless has been, hacked. That's a second step. The order of operations for a hacker who's breaking into your network is first they join your network, and then they launch another hacking tool that kills your secured communications.
Right, and the way the network's like a wall, they get behind the wall, and now they're with all the other people, and they mm-hmm. can start sniffing and looking and checking things out. Yeah,
just how easy it was in this video that we watched. The guy basically, opened up one of his little tools and said, oh, yeah, so, now the guy that I'm eavesdropping on is, going to a website, and he's putting in his username and his password, and he scrolls down and basically highlights it right in his little tool. It says, yeah, here's the username and password that he just entered. It shows what they call form data, from your...
Exactly.
From your web forms.
Yeah.
So
that's something to be very concerned about.
Anyway, yeah, hopefully, hopefully our listeners are a little bit more informed today and ready to go forth mm-hmm. in this brave new world.
You got to be very careful out there, especially using wireless.
Yeah. So let's talk about GlenX a little
bit.
Yeah,
I went out to the GlenX facilities at mm-hmm. At the 3rd Street.
Did they have little Razor scooters? And
not yet. Kind of they're still working on that. Okay. They just had their very successful seminar last mm-hmm. Friday with all these speakers. And I know if you want to get information on that, Jill Rubin did a great piece on Express Yourself, I believe on Friday, and it's on our KDK website, GlenX Grand Opening. And it's a nice 15-minute piece, and you can hear all about it. But basically, they're officially launching the GlenX co-working space on November 1st.
Okay.
And but they're in preview session now, so they welcome anyone to come by and mm-hmm. Meet Altoy and Michael Altoy Chulun and Michael Lowe are the founders. So yeah, go over there and check it out at 3rd Street, and it should be real exciting. And I think in 3 weeks we're actually going to do Geek Speak from the location.
Yes, we're going to try doing a remote broadcast.
Yeah,
from
we're going to do remote long broadcast after the grand opening, and that'd be a lot of fun.
That should be fun. I hear they have good coffee over there.
They do.
So yeah, and that's. I'm just in it for the coffee.
And the Nerf balls. So,
exactly. Maybe I'll bring my own Razor scooter for now.
There you go. Bring your own Razor scooter and Nerf balls. And we'll see what's going on there.
Kick it up a couple notches.
But yeah, it's really exciting and real exciting what's happening here in Carbondale.
I wonder if they would allow a computer guy to lurk around, I'd be like an ambulance chaser just waiting for somebody's, because you hang around a bunch of people using computers, it's only a matter of time before something goes wrong.
Exactly.
So I could be like an ambulance chaser computer guy, just going, oh, did I hear you use a four-letter word over there? Anything I can help you with?
Exactly.
So anyway, well, that's awesome. It's this valley's really, it's really coming along, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is coming along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As long as there's no more internet outages, it'll be a lovely valley.
Yeah, we didn't even get to touch on that one.
No, we didn't.
That was going to be our... That was going to be our lead story.
Yeah. Well, they solved it. They solved it.
Yeah. I mean, dead internet's pretty boring if you think about it. Yeah. You know, nothing in, nothing out.
Long story short, it was a CenturyLink issue. And 2 years ago, they had a problem. And they built some redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked successfully, it sounds like.
Okay.
To some extent, Department
of Redundancy Department.
Yeah. To some extent.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, cell phones went out, but a lot of the other services did not.
But today we have internet and all is good.
Yeah. All is good. So.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Louis, for another edition of Geek Speak.
Thank you, Marty.
Louis, the computer guy. And next week, we'll be back with another edition of Geek Speak on KDNK.